Okay, and we're still in Genesis, and we're in Genesis 21 today. So let's just start off. I'm going to read a little bit, and then we'll go back and hash it out. It says Genesis 21:1. Y'all a second to get there. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised the son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God had made me laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And he said, and she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Okay, go back to the first one. It says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. When did he say this? He said about a year ago that he was going to visit Sarah about this time, and she was going to conceive, and she was going to bring a baby to fruition for Abraham, right? What was her reaction? Inwardly, she laughed. She could not conceive how an 89-year-old woman was going to conceive a baby, bring it to fruition at that age. I can understand it. We all can understand it. And it said, so she said, so that's when they're talking about, as he had said he was going to do. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. In other words, but what does this say about God? If God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. It's not a wishy-washy thing. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. If God says that we have everlasting life, we have everlasting life. God does not give fake promises. He does not lie. There's not a lie that comes out of his mouth. So if he says it, it's true. Maybe not in our time frame, maybe not when we can see it, but it's true. It goes on to say, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. So it says that she bare Abraham a son in his old age. And old age is exactly what it was. Because they would have had to conceive at 99, and they would have born the son at 100. 100. Let's get that right. There's still chances for some of y'all. We can have more kids, even me, as ugly as I am. Nothing's outside of God's ability to do, right? Do we ever try to put God in a box? Yes, we do, every one of us. Do miracles still happen today? I'm not putting God in a box. God can do any miracle he wants to today. And we should look at things with that eye. Was it not a miracle that we see here that Abraham had a son when he was 100 years old? He is well past the time of having children. God made him a promise. He made him a promise some 25 years ago. That's patience. 25 years he waited for this to happen. So, Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in her old age. And it goes, it says, at the set time for which God had spoken to him. In other words, who set the time when the birth is going to be born? God does things in his own time, right? We have a time frame. Did they have a timetable for what they did? Did Sarah have her timetable? Well, yes, she did. Take Hagar, my maidservant. Go in and conceive a child with her so that you will have a living relative out of your loins. Sarah had her timetable. It didn't work out well for her. She really didn't understand the manipulations that she was putting in effect whenever she did that, because you saw how she acted. I'm sure she thought, she didn't realize she was going to act the way she did. I'm sure she didn't realize she was going to have the feelings for Hagar and that child whenever she said, go into, here, take my maidservant and make a child with her. It's amazing how sometimes we do things and we try to think it's because of good, but we don't really understand the ramifications of what we do, is it? Do you think that whenever she come up with the plan to have Hagar have a child for me, she was thought that this was going, it was going to be that way? I know, but I'm just saying, my point to you, do you think she thought that she was going to feel that way whenever she thought that, well, I'll have a son through Hagar and that'll be good for all of us. And then she got the feelings, and once she saw Hagar running around with that baby, she was like, wait a second, she can have a baby and I can't. Abraham's going to like her more than he's going to like me. Imagine all the feelings, the human feelings that come into this that we don't think about when we start doing things. Yeah. So, so that in his old age, the time that was set by God, God had already had this plan. He knew what he was going to do before time and creation started. He knew exactly when he was going to bring this pregnancy upon Sarah so that she could have Isaac. In fact, he even told, and figure out that God's the one that decided what the name was going to be for the child. It said, Abraham called the son that was born to him and bare him Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter, or he who laughs. What did Sarah do whenever they figured out that she was going to say at 89 she was going to, or 90 she was going to have a child? She laughed. What was Abraham's reaction when God told him that I'm going to come back to you and you're going to bear a child and Sarah's going to bear a child? Inwardly, he laughed. Now, was that laugh out of joy or was that laughed out of, I just can't see this happening? We don't know, but inwardly, he laughed at it. And God knew it. So, they had Isaac. And this was all of God's plan, is it not? This is the son of the promise. It's not the, it's the son that was promised by God that should come in this direction. And even though he's going to do good by Ishmael, he's going to prosper Ishmael, Isaac is still the son of the promise. That's the one that the Lord Jesus is going to come through. That's God's plan. That's not man's plan. And that's not man helping God out with his plans. Okay, so Abraham... And now it goes on to say, it said, Abraham circumcised his son on the eighth day as God had commanded him. I read some commentaries on this, and it's just not, he didn't circumcise him on the eighth day as God. It's that he circumcised him on the eighth day in the particular way at exactly how God designed it to be done. When Noah built a boat, he did it completely according to God's design, right? When they took and they built the tabernacle, God put it in his mind exactly how he wanted this to do. This was all done toward God's design. And he says that Abraham did this on the eighth day, exactly how God designed it to do. On the time and exactly how God wanted it done. And this is the sign of the covenant within the flesh. And Sarah said, God had made me laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. God brought her joy so that all that hear would joy with her over this. And it said, and she said, who would have said unto Abraham, Sarah should have given suck and have borne him a son in an old age? Who out there would have said to Abraham, walked up to him and said, guess what, Abraham? At 100 years old, you're going to have a son, and your 90-year-old wife is going to bring that son to fruition, and she's going to nurse that child. Who would say that sort of stuff? Who could even contemplate that? If I walked up and told you something like that about somebody today, you'd look at me like I gone went nuts. I'm crazy. It's just something that does not happen outside the will of God. This is one of those miracles. It's a miracle, and we don't look at it as such sometimes, do we? We kind of gloss over. God did it. But this is a miracle in and of itself. That's what I'm saying. And it's so easy for us to gloss over it, isn't it, Coach? We see a miracle happen, but we don't think of this as a miracle. We just think of this as God working. But even in this day, whenever people live to be over 100, this is not normative. This is not a natural occurrence. We know that by Scripture. And Coach is over here saying that a lot of people that read this story probably don't believe that these little things happen. These are wild fascinations of the mind of the person that wrote this book. But understand that as a Bible-believing Christians, as Bible believers, I don't get that choice, do I? I don't get that choice. If I cannot, and we have people in denominations today that want to pick and choose what they want to believe from the Bible. Well, I like this, but I don't like this, or I want to believe this, but this probably didn't happen. But as Bible believers, if we take anything out of this Bible, we take anything out here as being not true. We say, well, this probably didn't happen that way. That opens up for somebody to come in and say, well, what about this? Well, did Jesus really say the only way to get to heaven was through him? Did they really mean that Jesus really died, or was it some kind of, was he shipped away? Was it somebody else that was on the cross instead of him? It's amazing if you take away one small piece of the Scripture, how people, you open the door for people to come in and destroy the rest of your faith. Yeah. So, we're going to go on a little bit more, and it says, and in 21:8, it says, and the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast day on that same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, according to lore, this was about 3 years when the child is weaned. That's kind of Hebraic stuff. So you can say that, okay, now we're going to jump forward 3 years. And the child has been growing up, Everybody's been, time has been moving on. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a feast day the days Isaac was weaned. It's amazing how we start off and we talk about how in our own understanding, our own thing, have we ever talked about, Paul sometimes says that some believers can only take the milk of the gospel. But sooner or later, you have to grow up and be able to eat the meat, right? You have to be weaned from this as you grow. It's the same thing here. The child is growing, and at a certain particular time, it's going to be weaned off of the mother's milk. And then it's going to go on and start taking solid food so it can continue to grow. You know, you move from the milk to, you know, beef. I don't think they have pork. Well, they can still have pork there, I think. I'm not sure. I'm not going to go there. Here we go, because I've got to get into barbecue, and then we'll be here all day. It says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born under Abraham, mocking. This child, it's his day of coming out. It's his day of becoming from a baby to a little boy. And you see this, Sarah sitting back over there, and she sees this son of Hagar the Egyptian. That carries a connotation in and of itself, the Egyptian. It's like she did not consider Hagar part of them. She was the Egyptian. Which she had born unto Abraham mocking. So he's sitting over there and he's mocking the child. I've read some things where you can say, well, this was probably an ongoing thing from the time the baby was born, and then you see this coming out. I don't know. Right how, and I can tell right now that this Ishmael had a mocking attitude toward Isaac. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know how they realized. I don't know how was it what kind of mocking attitude it was, but there was something going on between these two, and Sarah didn't like it. Sarah didn't like it. Yeah. Yeah, if you want this piece of sausage, you got to reach it. Nah, you can't get to it anyway. Wherefore, she said to Abraham, cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of a bondswoman shall not be heir even with Isaac. She's like, I want you to cast this woman out. Now, she had already cast him out before, right? And then she sent back, she was sent out, and then she come back and lived with him, and then she'll do whatever Sarah said. You know, she told her that, and I was going to make a nation out of your son when he was just a baby. And so she comes to Abraham, and is like, I want you to get this woman out of here. And she has a good reasoning for this. For her son, the son of a bondswoman shall not be an heir with my son, even Isaac. This son of this bondwoman will not be even thought of on the same line as my son when it comes to your heir. I am your wife. The child that comes by me will be your heir. And I don't want this guy, this other boy, this son of this bondswoman, competing with him in any fashion. He should not even be here. It's not his place to compete with my son. How did Abraham deal with this? But it goes on to say, it says, Abraham, and it says, and this thing was very grievous to Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham had this natural feeling for Ishmael, right? It was his son. He loved this young man. Evidently, the kid was pretty decent. You know, he evidently, whenever you tell him to go get the water, he went and got the water or whatever. He was a good kid. He did what he was supposed to do. And who, which kind of man in here, even when your child is doing wrong and you have to discipline him, you know, sometimes you just tell a kid, this is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt, or me more than it's going to hurt you when you got to spank him. You have to discipline them sometimes, and it's painful even to the person doing the discipline, is it not? Do you not think it grievously wounded God when he set our sons upon Jesus Christ, an innocent man? But that's something else. He was distraught in the heart because he could see no way out. He has his wife on one side, and he has this son on the other side. So he sleeps on it. And I don't know if God came to Abraham during a dream or whatever. Evidently it was a nighttime, because we see what's going to happen here in a minute. It says, and God said to Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken to her voice, for Isaac shall be thy seed be called. He says to Abraham, don't be grieved about what Sarah is saying to you, because Sarah's right. Yes, the woman was right for a change. Your wife was right. Ishmael, no matter how much you love him, no matter how much you care for him, he is not your seed that I was talking about when I promised. He is not the seed that I promised to make a nation out of through you. Y'all did this on your own whenever, and the wife was complicitory in this at this particular time. But he says to her, hearken to what your wife says. Listen to your wife on this, because she's right. Ishmael will not be part of the seed of the promise. Yes, Coach. Oh, yeah. And it goes on to say, and also the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. In other words, don't worry about this other kid over here. I've got your back there. I have plans for him. I'm going to make him a nation of his own. And reason that God gives that, because I will honor your seed through him. Because he is your seed, I'm going to go ahead and make a nation of him. But he's not the seed of promise. He's not the one that I made the promise to you through. But I will still honor your other son on this, the son on over here, the son of the bondswoman. Huh? Evidently, God don't care about firstborns, does he? Anyway. Now. Huh? God had his plan and we have our plan. And that's true. God has his plan. And sometimes it's hard for us to realize that God has his plan and we have our plan. And sometimes we need to put our plans aside for God, right? Mm-hmm. But Ishmael is not the seed of promise. But also, you also, if you go back into Paul's writings, that Abraham is really our father through faith. So you can kind of lead back into other things, but that's I don't really want to get deep off into that today. But what was Abraham's reaction to this once he that's the reason why I said it probably came to him as a dream that night or whatever. He was probably sleeping on it, okay? Because what happened? It says, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't waste any time, did he? Abraham jumped up as soon as his eyes cracked open early in the morning. Sun was starting to bleed over the horizon. Abraham's eyes cracked open. He's like, I got a job to do. He didn't play around, did he? He says, Abraham got up early in the morning. He took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, put it in on her shoulders. So he took the bread, the bottle of water, and put it on her shoulder, which is a normal way that they carry stuff back in the ancient days. And the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. He did not waste any time. You know what God said to you in that night in a dream, and he knew it was God. He said, Abraham, don't worry. I've got your back with Ishmael. It's like, you hearken to what your wife said. Send this woman away. I'm going to take care of them. And his faith, the minute he woke up, he's like, God's going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of what my portion of this. I'm going to do exactly what God wants me to do. Here's you some water. Here's you some food. Hit the tracks. Hit the bricks, people. Animals are more trouble than what they're worth, like women. Anyway, they departed into the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, we go on, time and goes on. I don't know how much water was given to them. Some people say that it wasn't in a bottle, it was in a wineskin. I don't know. Translations are what translations are. Yeah. Well, in King James it says bottle, so we know it's all true, it's a bottle. But anyway, with translations being what translations, they carried water with them, however vessel they carried it in. And as usual, guess what happens when you drink water? You run out. Okay? Water's a finite substance. Okay? Regardless of what we think of, whenever we turn on our spigots, that water is not always going to be there because sometimes a line breaks and you don't have your water pressure anymore. We've all suffered it. And it's like, whenever you lose water pressure, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Hang on the front of your Jeep, and when you drive through the thing, it cools the water down. I know what you're talking about. Yep. It sweats through the bag, and as you drive along, the air flows through the bag, and it cools the water. Yeah. And you used to take your cans from your sea rats and put them on your engine block when you're driving, and it would warm them up, too. Different stuff you could do. I digress. So, they went into as the water was spent in the bottle, she cast under one of the shrubs. So they're walking along, and they're drinking, they run out of water. And they're getting thirsty, right? And she's like, I could just hear her mind. Abraham sent us out here with this couple of bottles of water. We're in the wilderness. Now we're going to die. I'm going to watch this child that came from my loins slowly die in front of me. And that's, understand, this is not a, how old do you think Ishmael is right now? He was 14 when Isaac was born. Isaac has been weaned. So if you say that Isaac was weaned, you say 3 years, what does that put him at? 17, he's a young man now. kind of get that idea because there's no water here. And if when you're in the desert, what's the one thing you need? How long can you go without eating? Some of y'all can go a little longer than some of the other. Some of us can go a little farther than some other people. You know, it kind of pays to have a little bit of fat in your bones sometimes you're not going to eat. How long can we go without drinking water? 2 or 3 days. Very short period of time. If anybody's seen anybody on hospice that has quit taking in water and how they become emaciated and their lips start chapping and they just don't look the same anymore, right? And it doesn't take long, does it? Water, you know, your body, there's more water in your body than our bodies is mostly made of water. I was talking about people, and when you talk about building muscle and weight lifting weights, you know, most of your muscles are made of water. More water in there than there is mass. That's the reason why if you're lifting weights, you need to be drinking a gallon of water a day or so. You have to replace that so it can rebuild properly. Water is a very important substance in our existence. So they're out here and they run out of water. They know what happens. They live in the desert. They know what happens when you don't have water. So if you're in the middle of the desert, it's so much more worse than being in an air-conditioned building when you ain't drinking water. You're in the heat, sweat. It's a terrible situation to be in. So they're out of water. And she put Ishmael underneath a bush somewhere to put him in some shade. And she went and sat down against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. And she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. She took and she said, "I don't want to see my child die." She put him away from him, went a bow shot away. I don't know how much a bow shot is, but it's pretty goodly distance. And she went over there and she started wailing and weeping because she figured that this was the end and they were both going to die. She just could not understand why this happened. She just did not. She was at her wit's end. And it's amazing when you're at your wit's end how God's usually listening, right? I heard a story about Brian Head. He was a rock singer and everything with the band, and he's come to Christ. And he didn't come to Christ until he was at his tremendous end when everything was closing down, when all hope was lost. And it's amazing how, you know, you hear somebody that can't get off drugs, so they hit rock bottom, right? We don't seek out God until we've taken and exasperated everything that we can try within ourselves. Then we seek out God and He helps us, and then we don't honor that and we go back to trying to do things our own way again, don't we? That's the human frailty that we have. That's the sin nature that continually will fret us until time that we become one with Christ whenever He makes us like Him. So, she went and she sat down against the thing and she wept about a bow shot away. And God heard the voice of the lad. So evidently, Ishmael was wailing pretty good too. He was complaining. He heard the voice of the lad. And the angel God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise and lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make of him a great nation." Has he not already said he was going to do this? Some 15 years later, I don't know what the time frame, I'm just going to throw a number out there, but a lot of years later, whenever she was put out, God met her out there and said, "Don't worry, go back and listen to what Sarah says. Do what Sarah says. I'm taking care of y'all." She had already forgot this, hasn't she? It's so easy. We have a momentary epiphany with God. God reaches down to us and gives us some kind of light and helps us out, brings us to His understanding. And then it's so easy for us to take and move away from that understanding and go back to what we think. And that's what happened to Hagar here. Back whenever he was told early on, she's like, don't worry, I'm going to take care of y'all. Go back and do what Sarah says. She had already forgotten that first thing. So God's going to remind her. He says, I will make of him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. There's another miracle. Was that well of water there a few minutes ago? If that well of water was there, why are they sitting around whining and crying that they ain't got no water? God miraculously makes a well of water appear out of nowhere. He opened her eyes, she saw the well of water, and she went and she filled the bottle of water and gave the lad drink. Yeah, God opened her eyes to where it was. Maybe the water was there, and he all of a sudden, you know, whenever the Israelites were grumbling for water, what did God do? He told them, he's like, strike that stone the first time, and water came from, right? Speak to it the second time. But he struck it. That's a whole other story. I don't want to get into it. But imagine how God can make water come from wherever he wants to, right? He is not restrained by time and eternity and all the physicalities that we're restrained from. God is outside the world. God can do what he wishes. If he couldn't, he wouldn't be God. So God opened her eyes. She saw a water well and went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God said, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Now, this is, what did God say about Ishmael early on? He said he was a wild ass of a man. In other words, he was a contrary sort of man. He was a man that was hard to get along with. So the wilderness was a good place for him, right? God set him where he needed to be. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran. And his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. She was Egyptian, right? Why not go to Egypt and get him a wife? And that's all we hear about him for that particular time. Now, we're fixing to go on to a treaty with them. It says a treaty with Abimelech, but I don't have time for the treaty with Abimelech. So we're going to shut down right there, and we'll start next week on 21:21. Has anybody got anything else we want to talk about what happened today? Any comments, any questions, any leadings? Yes, sir. Did he father these children after he was 100? Because up to this time, these are the only two we hear about. And if there was more, I would assume that there would be mention of them somewhere. I think that would be a valid question. And that's just something I feel like when we're talking. Anybody got anything else? Yeah, food too. And you're in a wilderness, and like God prospered him. God led him. God gave him the ability. God provided and made, because he said he was going to make this man his own nation. Yes. Yeah, was it a long bow or a short bow? Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But a bow is something that's easily made too. That's the reason why bows were readily available, because you basically need a proper stick and some string, and you can make a bow and make arrows, and because, you know, anybody that's ever watched, you know, the a lot of the shows that are on, like the survivalist shows, that's one of the first things that you see people doing is making their own bows, because it's a weapon that can be easily made if you have the ability. Yeah, Egyptians know to use bows. Anybody got anything else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the time you give us together. We ask that we would not waste this time that we have, that you would prosper our knowledge and our understanding of exactly who you are and exactly what you would have us learn from each one of these scriptures. Sometimes we look at the Older Testament and we think, well, this would be much better for us to go read about grace and how Paul would teach us about grace, but understand that you gave us these books as guidance so that we can understand exactly who you are and you have been through time and eternity. You did not change. You have not changed. You are always the same. You always will be the same. And Father, we ask that you would give us understanding exactly who you are and your nature as we study through this, and we can carry forward and proclaim exactly who you are and what you have done in our day and time to everybody that we meet, and draw people close to you that we can be that light on the hill. They would say, I want some of what them people have. Give us guidance and give us the ability to spread your word as we go forward. And I pray this in Jesus' name.